Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the NIIT Limited Q3 FY16 Investors Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, Managing Director and Vice Chairman of NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and welcome everyone to the third quarter results call. I just have one statement to make. Seasonally, quarter three is the weakest quarter for us, and it is with that backdrop that I now request Rahul Patwardhan, Chief Executive Officer, to make his presentation.
Thank you, Vijay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm happy to share with you the results for our quarter three of NIIT FY16. I'd start by saying another good quarter, well on track as promised at the beginning of the year. We continue to see traction and overall growth and profitability of NIIT. Our revenue is up 6% YOY, and more important, quarter one to quarter two to quarter three has grown 4%, 5%, 6%. So we are beginning to accelerate the growth rate as we move forward in the business. Our go-forward business, if you exclude the businesses that we had planned to exit in quarter four, is actually a 9% YOY growth. Our EBITDA is 6.2% for this quarter compared to 2.3% same quarter last year, and that's a growth of 185% YOY. Our PAT has grown sevenfold, not seventeenfold as Bloomberg mistakenly reported, from 18 million last year same quarter to 137 million for this quarter. In terms of our profile of businesses, as we stand today, our international business for quarter three, international means all businesses outside India, contribute 70% of our revenue, and the rest is India business. Between our three lines of business, CLG contributed in quarter three 60% of our revenue. SMC remains at 32%, which it was same quarter last year, and schools is down from about 11% that it was last year same quarter to 8%, as expected, because we are getting out of the government schools contracts. Our net debt increased from 965 million to 1,168 million on account primarily of slightly lower government collections than we expected, and also the CLG capacity expansion expenses, which I talked about in the last quarter. If I go into the businesses in particular, the CLG business has grown 17% YOY on revenue, slightly better than our percent outlook that we've been talking about, and EBITDA margin has stayed at 12%. It's now 60% of our revenue, of total NIIT revenue, compared to 55% that we were last year same quarter. We started, as I mentioned in previous calls, to give more emphasis to the life sciences and the BFSI sector, and that's starting to show traction both in terms of revenue and in terms of the pipeline. So in spite of the fact that there is obviously a little bit of uncertainty on the oil and gas sector, we have more than adequately performed, as you can see. What's very important to highlight is that in quarter one, as I'd mentioned last quarter, we consumed most of our big pipeline deals. In quarter two and quarter three, we've been building up our pipeline, so right now we probably have the richest pipeline that we've had in the last few quarters. We added one new MTS customer in this quarter, and we have now reached 27 MTS customers overall. If you recall, we signed a Citibank contract last quarter. Our order intake is up 28% YTD, and our revenue visibility is up from 191 million to 195 million. In parallel, we've been spending time enhancing our capability portfolio. Also, our productivity program has progressed significantly from when we started it in July, and Sapnesh perhaps can talk about it later. And more important, we've also started focusing on larger ticket deals and longer annuity deals, as I'd laid out at the beginning of the year, and we're also making traction there, especially when you look at our pipeline. Finally, I just like to close on CLG to say that we remain well on track to deliver the 15% growth and 12% margin for the year as we laid out in May. On the SNC business, as Vijay mentioned, this is the weakest quarter historically for many, many years, and it's no different for this year. Having said that, SNC overall grew 3% YOY in this quarter, and I want to emphasize that we had set back to growth. In the first quarter, we were minus 3%. In second quarter, we are plus 1%. And in this quarter, we are plus 3% in what is the weakest quarter. So I believe and I'm very satisfied that we are moving very much in the right direction, perhaps a little bit ahead of what we had laid out at the beginning of the year. Our EBITDA margin also, back to profit was our promise at the beginning of the year. We have 1% EBITDA for this quarter, but it's a weak quarter, so EBITDA has historically always been low in this quarter, often just break even. It was minus 13% same quarter last year, so a big swing in the EBITDA for this business in this quarter. Our Beyond IT portfolio has grown well. Our international retail business has also grown well in this quarter. Our order intake was also up by 23%. We also had a number of new partnerships. We tied up with Hewlett Packard for automated testing. We're getting very good response to these programs that were launched in this quarter. We also tied up with Metascale for big data related training. And again, there's very good response to that product. And we also had a launch of a new product in the finance and accounting space called FinAdvantage. So I think there have been a number of new initiatives in the product space in the SNC business. And last but not the least, the StackRoot initiative that we kicked off in August last year is making very good progress. And we're getting a lot of interest among more and more corporates in the large IT companies, more than just the startups. And NIT TV just completed 100 days from its launch. We've reached about 150,000 registrations from 140 countries. And from a start of only 20 courses at the beginning of the launch, we today have more than 1,500 courses on the portal. So probably one of the fastest ramp-ups of an e-learning portal that we've seen in the Indian marketplace. In the schools business, as you know, we restructured and the time that was spent in quarter two and quarter three was largely around a search for a new leader for the business. I'm happy to announce Gavin Abrio, who's sitting in on this call, and I'll ask him to introduce himself in a little while. So now we are in the process of developing the plans for the business going forward. This has been the weak quarter for schools. It's the lowest revenue normally every year, so this is no different this year. The GSA business ramp down happened, therefore the business also degrew vis-a-vis last year. Focus really now is about how we take the business forward. And from what I'm told by Gavin, we have a very strong pipeline going into the two most important quarters for this business linked to seasonality of the school academic calendar. I'd also like to mention that we strengthened the B2B business leadership team with Amit Kaul joining us from SAP, who was very senior corporate business leader there. And he will help us drive the growth rate of the corporate business in the Indian market, which actually did quite well, but on a small base. And we see a lot of potential to create larger business in this space. So finally, I'd like to say that our three-point program of restructuring in quarter four, re-energization over the last two quarters, and renewal, which we started in this quarter, are all moving well on track, and I would say slightly ahead of where we'd like to be. So I'm looking forward to comfortably meeting the goals that we laid out at the beginning of the year. And as we go into the next week, we have a very detailed perspective planning discussion with the board, which will follow up with the budget finalization for next year. And I'm looking forward to being at an appropriate time sharing with you our direction for next year. I'd now like to hand you back to Vijay.
Well, I think we would now like to get your questions and comments on the results as well as any thing that you would seek to clarify. I have the whole management team as well as the chairman, Mr. Aris Pawar, joint managing director, P. Rajendran, chief financial officer, Rohit Gupta, heads of business, Sapnesh, Prakash Menon, Gavin,
on the call.
And then I also have Shivan, as well as Amit Kaul, available, and Uday Singh. So open it up for questions, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Abhishek Kumar from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks and congratulations on a good top line growth. My question is on corporate learning group. Like we see in IT services, this is the time when clients usually finalize their budget. So is it the case even for the training budgets? And if that's so, what are the early trends that you're seeing in terms of training budgets for CY16?
Yeah, thanks for the question. I'm going to ask Sapnesh, who leads the business, to answer the question.
Yeah, this or a couple of months ahead of January is typically the time when they do budgets. I think we are seeing small increases in the budgets. So compared to last year, there is growth in training budgets, notwithstanding some of the crisis in the energy segment or the commodity segment. There, I'm sure the budgets are going to get cut. But outside of that, so far what we've heard is the budgets are going to be up, more specifically in the United States. That said, I think what's important to note is the growth in budgets is not necessarily what drives our business. What drives our business is the fact that more organizations are starting to outsource. So while there may be a single-digit growth or a low double-digit growth in budgets, what's more important is that there is substantial growth in opportunities where organizations are looking at moving away from insourcing this work to outsourcing this work.
Thanks. I just want to take this forward, especially in the context of oil and gas. So continued pressure on oil prices, is that sort of pushing the clients to sort of outsource more of the training? Are we being approached by those clients to sort of take over some of the trainings that they do?
Yeah, a very good question. And as you would have seen in the IT outsourcing sector, often the pressure on costs that industry faces or a client faces leads to higher outsourcing and, more important, higher offshoring, because they're looking for cost savings. And we do see those conversations becoming more common. At the same time, oil and gas, we're watching what's going on, and we have been watching what's going on for the last 9 months. So we had consciously started doing our pipeline development in BFSI and life sciences to make sure that we aren't hit in any way by the possible impact in this industry. And as you've seen from our results, we've done a good job on that. But there could be opportunities where, because you have been able to demonstrate saving for 5 years on a substantial scale for a customer, they could come back and say, can you save us a lot more money? And we're trying to have those conversations, and we are getting some traction in terms of interest.
Great. So that basically brings me to my next question, which is expanding our footprint outside of oil and gas. So one of the strategies that we had was inorganic strategy or acquisitions into pharmaceutical or BFSI. So if you could update us on where we have sort of advanced in those talks.
Yeah, nothing specific to report in terms of any event. We have a number of discussions going on. As you know, this December and January is not particularly active time in the U.S. market and the European market for these kinds of discussions. We have homed in on a much smaller set of organizations with whom we are having discussions, but nothing specific to report at this point of time. But maybe Sapnesh, you can talk a little bit about the kinds of organizations that we are talking to in terms of looking at capability set and so on.
So as Pat pointed out, no event to report as such, but we are, as mentioned earlier, looking at improving our strength in the banking, in the pharma segments, and also looking at expanding our capability set. So those are the discussions that are currently going on.
My last question actually is, I know it might be a little too early to talk about FY17, but if I were to ask, how do you feel at this point versus what you felt at the beginning of last year getting into the next fiscal, would you say that we are as confident or more confident for this momentum to continue, especially in the corporate learning group? Thank you. That's it for me.
Yeah. Well, I would say that as the year has gone by, our confidence about achieving what we laid out for the year has gone up, and that has continued to go up, and I would say that's true even today. FY17 is a different story, but what we did indicate that the corporate learning business, at the scale it exists today, we do see that it should be possible to continue to deliver the numbers that we've been delivering so far. Having said that, we need to watch and see what's happening in the market. It's a little bit of uncertainty in the market. It hasn't impacted us so far, but we have a budgeting and planning cycle, so I'll be able to give you a better idea after that.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is on the line of HR Gala from Panav Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations for reasonably good set of numbers. Hello.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Just wanted to know that the major downward trend that we are seeing in the total EBITDA percentage, QOQ, not YOY. YOY there has been a growth. So is it mainly to do with the seasonally weak quarter as compared to Q2 FY16?
Yes, if you were to study our Q2 to Q3 EBITDA trend over the last many, many years, it's always been a substantial difference from all the way from 1982 onwards. There's always been a substantial EBITDA change from Q2 to Q3 because of seasonality, and that's what's happened this year too. But often in the past, we've actually had gone negative on EBITDA. As I mentioned, last year, we were minus 13% on EBITDA in this quarter.
It has become sort of nil.
Yeah.
What does our net other income expense comprise of? Because it has turned negative as compared to positive in Q3 FY15.
Yeah, I'll ask Rohit, our CFO, to share the details.
Yeah. Thanks, Pat. So our net other income consists of interest income and any other below the line income or expense which we record. Last year we had a positive write back of some of the provisions that we had taken in the past, and that resulted in the overall income becoming positive.
Okay. Is there any major one-off item is there which won't be getting repeated?
Yeah, well, there is so it includes one is the interest cost which is there, and as you are aware, there's an amendment which has come in the Bonus Act, and we had to have a provision which is retrospective from 1st of April 2014. So there is an impact of 6.8 million which we have taken into our books in this quarter, and that is part of the
6.8 million.
That's right. Yes.
Okay. Because okay. Even if you see from the 9 months perspective, I think our total other expenses have increased to 13.2 crore from 7 crore. So there has been a substantial jump of, say, 6 crore rupees.
Yeah, so the other element is there is a quarter-on-quarter forex loss, and the interest expenses is also higher in this quarter.
Okay. In 9 months, how much has been the interest expense?
So we are tracking, you know, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, roughly around 4.5 to 5 CR.
4.5 to?
5 CR average.
Okay. Now, how do you see the overall outlook? This is a question for Mr. Patwardhan for the full year.
Yeah, I started the year by saying CLG will do 15% top-line growth and 12% EBITDA. I think we are looking comfortably be able to close on that or better.
Okay.
We also said that our SNC business will definitely be back to growth and back to profit. And we are quite clear to say that we didn't want to give any number above that statement. But clearly, we are doing better than that. And I expect that also to be a little better. The third business, which was schools, which has obviously become a much smaller business as the government schools are starting to end. So in fact, quarter one, the Andhra Pradesh Telangana contracts got over, which was a substantial reduction in the revenue. But the IP-based schools business, we've had a transition, leadership transition. We've done a little bit not as good as I would have liked it to be. But we more than made up on that by the improvements in the other two businesses. So for the overall company, we are where we wanted to be so far, and I expect to be closing at that or slightly better for the full year.
Okay, that's great. And sir, have you been able to recover this account receivable which were stuck with the government schools?
We continue to be able to recover parts of it. Obviously, it's moving slower than we'd like it to be, and that is reflected in our net debt. The important point here is that nothing is changed in the status and quality of those BR. It is just the process of extracting the money from the government, especially in states where funding is coming partly from the state government and partly from the central government. There's no status change on the, what should I say, the risk of any of those debts. They're all things that we will definitely be collecting. The question is...
amount which is stuck up as of now?
Sorry?
How much is the total amount recoverable from government schools as of now?
Rohit, you'd like to answer that?
Yeah, so roughly around 140 crores is...
140. Hello?
Yes, 140.
140 crores is the amount of receivables.
Last question from my side, how much was the consolidated debt as on 31st December?
Are you talking about the gross debt?
Yeah, gross.
Yeah, so our gross debt at the end of this quarter is 195 crores.
195 crores, and this includes long-term and short-term borrowings.
Yeah, this includes the overall debt borrowings, which is long-term and any other utilization debt. Sorry?
And net debt was 1168 million.
116.8 million. Okay.
Sorry, 116.8 crores or 1168 million.
Yeah. Thank you very much, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chetan V from JHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon to you. Sir, can we have the initial remark from Mr. Gavin on the school business?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Gavin. Over to you. You want to introduce yourself?
Hi, Chetan, and the rest on the call. I've been in the industry for the last 24 years, and brief background will show that I was one of the founding members of a taxi company in India called Meru Cabs. Subsequently, did an entrepreneurial venture in education and then sold it. In the last 1 year, prior to joining NIT, I was with Varsity Education, where we ran close to 250 schools across India. from a NIT perspective, I think Pat has spoken with you about the current status of the business. I think going forward, we are hitting the peak season, and this peak season will be for 6 months. And I think there is good visibility on that particular piece.
Okay. Just to continue on that, what's your assessment of the current business model that and the product offering by NIT, and what kind of structural change that you are thinking of so that to bring in more kind of aggressiveness in the business so that it is back to growth in the double digits?
Yeah, I think I've just moved in a couple of months back, and I think we are in the planning phase as we speak, and in the next 60 days, this will get closed. And we shall be able to share some of those details with you around that time.
Okay. And sir, if I may ask you finally, what are your views on the opportunity within the school learning business in India?
I think it's huge. The school business is a is probably a one of the few recession-proof businesses. There is demand, and hence it's about us putting our plans together and figuring out what we want to do.
Okay, I take that, sir. So my second, my question now is on the CLG business for Mr. What are the initiatives you have taken so far to kind of ramp up the India operations for the business?
Yeah. Amit is on another phone line. Amit, we may want to introduce yourself and just some observations for the last 30 days, a few days that you've joined the company.
Thank you, Pat. So I've come from a very strong B2B background. I've spent about 19 years in industry in multiple companies doing multiple roles. My last stint was with SAP. I had an 8-year stint in SAP. I did multiple leadership roles in SAP. I was a vertical head for the BFSI industry. I was the mobile head for the business. I was the head for CRM business in SAP. So I come with a very strong background. I've joined NIT a month back, and the initial thoughts on the big business in India is, I think we just cracked the surface. The lot we can do in India. The demand is pretty high. While we are in the planning cycle right now, I can't discuss too much, but I definitely see a very strong positive outlook for India B2B business next year.
Okay, that's great. And finally, so final question to Mr. Rao. Compared to the global customer, what kind of size of business per client that you will be looking out for in India?
Yeah, that's a good question. As you know, even in our global business, we've been extremely selective about the profile of customers. We basically try to focus on the Fortune 1000 profile, large multinationals who need support worldwide or at least on a large part of the world, because that seems to be the sweet spot where they value a company like us better. So we are looking at really a small group of companies who are really the leaders in their respective industries, probably mirroring the same vertical sectors that we have internationally that we focus on, but maybe a few more that may be relevant in India. So two groups of companies, obviously multinationals who have large footprints in India, and second would be Indian companies who are multinationals in their own right, who need support in not just India, but in multiple countries. But also could be Indian companies who have very large distributed geographical presence in India, and therefore only a company like NIIT with a huge training footprint can service them properly, like we do for ICICI Bank, for example.
Okay. Okay, I take that. Sir, I have more questions. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ganesh Shetty. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, Ganesh.
Yeah, congratulations, sir, for good set of numbers.
Thank you.
And happy your very hard work and synergy among your team members. That is a very fantastic observation what I have observed on this day. And going forward, sir, I have one question that is regarding our SNC group. That we have recently introduced state group program and some other specialized program, and how these programs are continuing, and how the margin picture over there, and do you see that these programs will be in a more relevant way we can introduce in other parts of the country? Can you please throw some light on this, sir?
Yeah, I'd like Shivan, who's on the phone, to take up this question. Shivan, would you like to answer that?
Sure. I will handle the second part of the question, wherein you asked for certain products that we have launched. Yes, we have launched testing in partnership with HP. We launched this product in the month of December. The product is gaining traction in the marketplace. We specifically launched in Pune and Bangalore market. The initial response from the market has been very positive on this product. Second product that we launched in partnership with Metascale was Hadoop. Hadoop, in fact, the first batch also got launched about 2 weeks back. It is where the future possibly lies for all of us. It is a requirement from the marketplace. This product has also done well. The third product which we launched at the end of the last quarter was Python. This has also gained tremendous amount of traction during this quarter, and we are doing decently well even on this product.
Yeah, and to add to that, on StackRoot, we are working very, very closely with some of the largest Indian IT services majors who also have digital subsidiaries focused on the whole digital phenomenon and are also focused on converting their companies from services organizations into IP-based organizations. The interest in StackRoot is only increasing every day from the time we launched it. We have already into our third group of students who are going through the StackRoot program. The feedback from the students and the employers is very, very good. We have, in fact, very senior executives of the employers wanting to come and visit the center themselves. And what's more important is the original intent of StackRoot was, if you remember, to help spawn full-stack programmers who will be adding the ability to build IP and new businesses in the market. So the feedback we're starting to get now that some of the first two batches are starting to reach the end of the program is the work that they're doing in these programs itself is looking like a set of IP that the employers who sent these people for these programs want to take forward into a business for the future. So I think the program has really achieved exactly what we wanted it to achieve. And now our task is to scale up the business. The opportunity is huge because, as you know, Infosys, TCS, all the large companies have clearly said, if you listen to the results from Infosis, Vishal Sikka said 40,000 employees will be obsolete if they are not retrained in digital skills. So the positioning that we've been able to do with StackRoot, I think we're very well poised to be able to exploit some of that opportunity. Having said that, we are very focused on quality, and we're not going to let this program run to scale and reduce in quality. So we'll calibrate the scaling up of this program.
Thank you, sir, for the answer. So my second question is regarding our new initiative, that is NIT.TV. And as I see, there is a lot of interest being generated in NIT.TV. But one of my suggestion is, you know, if we are going for little marketing of this particular initiative, like in among student communities, where it would be low cost and high penetration marketing, that would add to, you know, multiple the number of students who are, you know, actually observing or who are actually participating in that new initiative. Can you please guide us whether we are in a position to make some marketing expenses for the success of this particular initiative, sir?
Yeah. Thanks. That's a very good point and observation. Obviously, our focus is on threefold in NIT TV. One is the platform. I think we've done some good work on building a technology platform by studying all the other platforms in the market, Indian as well as multinational or other American. And I believe our platform has many of the features and some features that many of those platforms don't have. The second area is content. We started with 20 courses. We now have 1,500 courses. So we made tremendous progress in the last 100 days. The third is how do we get more users? And while I would have liked the number to be much larger, but the reality is that from a start in 100 days to get 150,000 registered users is rare. I don't think there's any other e-learning portal in India that has grown to 150,000 users in 100 days. So I think we've done well. But we need to do a lot more. So I'm going to ask the person who is the brain behind NIT TV to talk about it himself, Uday Singh, who's our Chief Strategy and Technology Officer. Over to you, Uday.
Good afternoon. So two, three points that I'd like to add. One is that we visualize NIT TV as a very important engagement platform. Over the years, you know, when students have a very specific need and they pay for and register for those courses, there is a high degree of engagement as part of the natural course delivery with NIT. But what we've seen is that in between courses, or once, you know, they've met their immediate objectives, our engagement is considerably lower. NIT TV is predicated on the fact that training is no longer an event. It's a lifelong process. It's important at the school stage. It's certainly important at the undergraduate stage when people are looking for their first job, but increasingly during the stage that they are actually working. There is a lot of pressure to remain, current in terms of domain or technical expertise, you know, almost 10, 15 years into the career. And we feel that NIT TV will thread all the various initiatives and offerings of NIT and be one common engagement platform. So specifically in terms of the marketing spends, we see, us working very closely with our schools business and our skills and careers business so that NIT TV is integrated into their offering. I do want to emphasize that we took a bold decision that NIT TV will be free to our users. That's where they get started. And different businesses have their own paid and premium offerings. In terms of users, therefore, we're taking steps to engage with each of these segments. So we're working with our schools business. This is the time when children are preparing for their board exams. And so we said that, you know, we're actually offering a preparation program which will help them quickly recap their syllabus and then prepare for the actual exams. And this is focused on class 10 and class 12. We expect to do something similar for the undergraduate segment. And that's how, you know, we see this engagement journey rapidly growing.
One of the things I do want to emphasize is that you should have no worry that we will be trying to blow up millions of dollars on marketing. We've achieved 150,000 registrations at probably the lowest cost per registration in any of the e-learning companies in India. And I intend to keep it that way. We will form smart partnerships with people who already have a large customer base. So, for example, the announcement we made recently with tutorialspoint.com, they have more than a million users from all over the world every month visiting them to access IT content. And they were very eager to partner with us, and we saw value in working with them, and there's a mutual benefit. So now we have access to another million users, and we will form more and more partnerships with organizations like this and other kinds of organizations so that we create an ecosystem that can drive much larger engagement volumes at very low cost per incremental user. And that is our plan. No doubt there will be an increase in marketing spend at an appropriate time. We also have to focus right now on improving the user experience before we go too high on the marketing number, on the registration numbers.
Yeah, thank you very much for the answer. So my last question is regarding CLG business, that our we have now established two delivery centers at Europe, and Europe headquarters some of the biggest chemical companies like BASF and Bayer. And so now we have got good staff which who are multilingual in nature. So can we target these companies, or can we, you know, engage in more marketing efforts with these companies, so that, you know, we can get some clients from these regions? Thank you very much, sir.
Absolutely. We are targeting Europe quite significantly, and that was the prime reason for setting up nearshore operations there.
Thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Harsh Vijay Shah from Cresita Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Just announced a new facility in Norway. Could you just throw some light on what kind of growth opportunity are we trying to capture from the European market?
About 4 years ago, Europe was about 20% of our overall business. Today, notwithstanding what is happening to Euro or GBP, it is pretty close to 50%. The business in Europe has grown faster than, while our overall business has grown reasonably, the business in Europe has grown faster than the business in the United States. And our feeling is that that's going to continue. And that's really the reason why we opened the two delivery centers, one in Bergen, Norway, which supports some of the Nordic customers, as well as the one in Ireland, which is there to support some of the customers in UK, as well as in continental Europe.
Mm-hmm. Another question would be, we recently launched FinVantage. Could you just throw some light on that, please?
Yeah, Shivan, would you like to describe FinAdvantage?
Yeah.
FinAdvantage is a two-month certificate program in global finance. It takes care of the back-end VP and finance operations. It comes out with 35,000 rupees as a price point for 214 hours of education that we are providing in this. This is our first venture into the BPM space that we want to take into the retail space right now. We have been running a similar kind of a program for Genpact as a customer. That was a B2B deal that we had worked out with Genpact. Now we are taking absolutely similar kind of a program into the retail space.
Okay. And so next question, last question would be, what is our current consolidated and net gross block as on December?
Yeah, we'll tell you in a minute.
Yeah, we'll tell you in a minute.
Yeah, sure.
Our CFO has just stepped out of the room.
Yeah, sure.
Can take the next question in the meanwhile. I'll answer it as we get the number.
Okay, not an issue. And going forward, what is going to be our debt profile? Like currently you said we have a net debt of around 116.8 crore rupees. So going forward, is it going to be on a steady stream?
Yeah, at a top level, I would say that it increased because GSA collections were a little slower, but we're expecting some of those collections to happen in this quarter. Second, we also invested in building capacity for our CLG business. So that is a planned increase. So that is not something which has happened this quarter. It was already known it's going to happen. We are expecting that if the government debt collection happens at the pace that we'd like it to happen in this quarter, then this number would go down. But given that we do know that there's uncertainty in government payments, so
right.
At one of time, it won't go up, but we're hoping it will go down.
Okay. And what is our interest cost consolidated as on December? Hello?
Yeah. Two questions, gross block and interest cost consolidated.
Gross block, net block.
So gross block is 683 crores and net block is 100 crores.
Interest cost.
Interest is around 5 crores, 5 crores for the quarter.
Per quarter.
Per quarter, that you can say around 14 to 15 crore rupees.
Roughly about 13 to 14 crores over 9 months.
Okay. And sir, from our school business, we are just moving into a capex light model that we had discussed last time. So going forward, what kind of changes do we see in our capex spending?
In the schools business, we do not have any intention of doing further capex spending. That is very clear. We continue to remain with the same strategy. Similarly, even in our SNC business, we are focused on getting more and more asset light, and that will continue. So essentially, NIIT as an organization, therefore, will become more and more capex light in keeping with our overall strategy. Is there any specific point that you were trying to ask, which I missed out?
Yeah, currently he said the current gross block is around 683 crores. So going forward, we apart from our normal operating capex and other capex that we incurred while expanding, we won't be seeing any major capex coming up, right?
You are right.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Chetan V from GHP Securities. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to update on our tie-up with NSDC. In terms of the kind of agreement that we have signed to educate the million students, so where have we reached by now? And if you can just, I know you don't share the numbers, but relatively, where do you think we have reached so far?
Yeah, we had a tie-up with NSDC in the form of the joint venture NYJ for the last roughly 4 years. And the intent was, as the largest training company in India, we have a role to play in the skilling of India. And we have done that for 35 years and we'll continue to do that as long as we exist as a company. Having said that, if you are aware that NSTC is going through some changes, and we'd like to understand what those changes would mean, and we remain committed to supporting the skilling program of India working with NSTC.
Okay. That's it from my side. All the best to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ravi Menon from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. If I could get some color on how does your current breakup in terms of verticals for CL, the corporate learning business?
Sapnesh?
The current verticals we operate on or in our technology and telecom, banking, life sciences, and energy and commodities. Those are the segments that we operate in predominantly. I think about 85 or so percentage of our revenue comes from those verticals.
So within that, would you say that any of these would account for say over 25-30%? Or it's kind of an even split across all four of these?
Yeah, I mean, technology, telecom, are, and energy are the larger of the four, and they are split in the middle, I think, both lower than the 25% number that you mentioned, and the other two are the balance.
Right. And in your confirmed order book, is it similar or, is it more weighted towards any of the specific verticals?
I think it's reasonably weighted. Weighted in the line with the revenue.
Right. Trying to understand if, we need to invest specifically in any more domain skills because you talked about, diversifying more and focusing on banking and life sciences. So what do you think would be necessary? I mean, do you need specific trained sales personnel for these verticals or what other forms of investment would we need?
Verticalization.
I think verticalization is part of the strategy, and that involves not just training the sales folks, but as well as investing in delivery capabilities. And those are incremental investments that we do from time to time. We made certain investments last year, and over the last year, they're starting to show some results. But I don't see any major or material investments in these segments other than filling capability gaps that we talked about a little earlier.
Right. Do you also think acquisition would be a possibility to look at to fill out some gaps in the portfolio, especially from any specific vertical?
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
All right, great. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question. It's from the line of Kaushik Podar from KB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to understand, what's the revenue model for the NIT TV?
Yeah, good question. As Uday had shared, NIT TV itself is not intended to be a commercial revenue-generating platform. It is an engagement platform to widen the funnel of access to a much, much larger pool of people who will interact with NIT through this platform because of the availability of quality but free services. But through that platform, we will have, therefore, a lot of market information about a much larger pool of people, which will get fed into commercial platforms that we have for our other businesses and what we are also working on. If you were to recall, if you were there at the NIT Investor Meet in May, we had presented a vision of a multimodal platform and an ecosystem which we will build around that platform, where NIT would offer a mechanism for people who want to do a course coming onto the platform, selecting which form in which they want to do the course. That platform is also being built in parallel. So there is a phased rollout of NIT's edutech strategy. What you have just seen is the tip of the iceberg in NIT TV. And there is more to come.
Okay. I remember, in your first interaction with analysts, you had talked about this thing, NIT TV being something like Uber or something. I mean, is my thinking right? I mean, it will be a platform for all kinds of training program. If I know cooking, for example, I can upload my cooking program or something. That was the impression I have. I mean, can you elaborate on that?
Well, in one aspect, right, we do want to make it a 360-degree ecosystem model, which is very much like an Airbnb or Uber, except that the kind of partners who come on to it will not just be one kind of partner like a taxi driver, but it would be content providers, course developers, faculty, infrastructure providers, testing and certification agencies, and placement agencies, and in fact the employers themselves. So that is the vision in terms of an overall platform. NIT TV is not that platform. NIT TV is an engagement platform which will drive creation of a much greater interaction between NIT and the large population. But the commercial platform is the one you're talking about, which the work is going on building that platform, and hopefully in the near future, we'll be able to talk more about it and even announce and demonstrate what we're planning. And that will be a commercial platform which will offer a lot of value-added services, while NIT TV will always remain free because its objective is to catch and bring in many, many more people into an interaction with NIT.
And when does this commercial platform see the light of the day?
Well, it would be during this financial year, but more details than that I'm not going to share at this stage. What I also do want to emphasize that this platform is not going to be as wide as you defined. It is going to remain very focused on careers and skills for the age group of young people entering careers and for the working professionals in the age group of 25 to 34.
Okay. And as far as your engagement with National Skills Development Corporation go, I mean, when do you see the light of the day for that piece of your company?
Yeah, just to correct, in case I gave the wrong message when I said NIT TV, the new platform will be launched in this financial year. I was already into FY17.
Okay.
In my mind, so it's from April to between April and March, FY17.
Okay.
But just NSTC, we are already engaged with NSTC. We do many things with NSTC. We do work with number of central and state governments in skilling. Right now, we are trying to understand, and I guess the NSTC and the Skills Ministry themselves are reworking their engagement model and their plans and the policies under change. So we are waiting to see what that is, and once it's clear, we will continue to participate as we've done before.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of HR Gala from Panav Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, a little while ago in answer to a question, you spoke about three products. Can you, sir, repeat if you don't mind? Which are those three products we are talking about?
I think you're talking about the skills and careers retail business. So we launched a product which is basically automated testing around an HP tool. So the software belongs to HP, and we have a partnership alliance with them through which that tool is available to all our centers, and therefore we can offer automated testing training. This is the first time it's being offered in India, so that's something that is going to be exciting, and it's new age. The second one is Hadoop training in the big data space, working with Metascale, one of the leaders in terms of software in this space. Both these just got launched very recently, but traction is already very good. And the third is nothing to do with IT. It's Twin Advantage. This is a program which we had crafted together with Genpact, perfected the program over the last year. This trains people to become BPM professionals in the F&A space, and now we're offering it to the open market.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to our participants, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one. So we have no further questions in queue.
Yeah, thank you again for your participation on this conference. It gives us confidence that to see so many of you on this call, increased confidence hopefully in NIT as a company. I'd also like to say that the team has been working very hard to the plan that we laid out at the beginning of the year. It looks like we've made good progress against what we promised the investment community and our shareholders and ourselves as NITians. and look forward to continuing to interact with you in these conferences going forward and share positive results. And I'd like to hand over now back to Vijay to make any closing comments.
I think the team has covered all the questions as well as has briefed sufficiently on what we have achieved this quarter as well as our going forward plans. Thank you very much for your very insightful questions. As usual, I would like to mention that your questions open many, many doors in our own minds and open new possibilities, and we look forward to your continued guidance, cooperation, and continued association with NIIT. So thank you very much for joining the call.
Thank you very much, members of the management. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.